Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. This quick episode, we have my friend Trevor Carlin, owner of Carlin Racing, who has finally announced his two-car Verizon IndyCar Series program for Max Chilton and Charlie Kimball. I don't even want to call this one of the worst-kept secrets in IndyCar because we all knew it was happening. He was not exactly keeping it a secret, but in terms of making a formal public confirmation, that's something that obviously Trev wanted to wait until he had every signature in place. And also his wife, Steph, is the communications director for the team. So you can't exactly give away news or say things in advance and then go home and have your wife staring daggers at you. So Trevor, as usual, kept everything in line, everything organized, which is one of Carlin Racing's many well-known attributes. But great to speak with Trev. They're doing a IndyCar teleconference tomorrow, and I mention that because we intentionally didn't do a super deep dive in a few of the areas that you might expect me to normally do. Tell me about all your engineers and mechanics and the infrastructure, so intentionally left some meat on the bone there, but at the same time, I figure this is just a great thing to speak with Trevor about quickly, and this is, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 minute conversation, but there's definitely some gems that he offers in there about what this means to him, about what it's like joining this influx of new teams coming into IndyCar in 2018. Also, a little bit of the logistics. They are based in Florida, and as the AJ Foyt team has said, and some other teams have told us who are outside of Indianapolis, it's often hard to get the exact personnel that you want because many of them are either from the Midwest or have families in the Midwest. So interesting to get a little bit of insight from Trevor on that topic as well. And we will also go a little bit deeper into things with Trev once we get into 2018. And this is a team that I think we are going to see a rapid ascension on their part, because that has been really, that's been what they do. Any championship they've been in, they have gone on to become monsters, if not champions. They propelled Ed Jones to IndyCar after he won the 2016 Indy Lights Championship in only their second attempt there. So this is a pretty cool thing. You can get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes, on Podbean, on our Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page, which I would encourage you to join, like, share, and otherwise, and also on marshallpruitt.com. All right, off we go with Trevor Carlin.
Well, Mr. Carlin, there are rumors on the internet that you are creating an open-wheel racing team in North America. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. All kidding aside, I don't know if I want to say the worst-kept secret, because it wasn't even a secret. We knew you were doing it, and we were all cheering for the confirmation of Carlin Racing to make it into IndyCar. Yeah. Tell me about what this means for you, because, I mean, there aren't that many open-wheel series left for you to put the Carlin name on, but this, to me, is certainly a pretty big one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dream come true, really, and it literally was a dream. 30 years ago when I first sort of became aware of IndyCar racing and watched it. So I didn't even expect I'd have a team myself 30 years ago. So to be able to say there's going to be a Carlin entry in IndyCar, the Indy 500 is, it literally is just a dream come true. So I'm, chuffed a bit, and very thankful to all the people along the way that have helped make it happen. All the staff and drivers and sponsors and backers. So it's a big moment.
So if I'm looking at what you have created here in North America in a short amount of time, it mirrors what you've created in Europe as a Indy Lights champion, as someone who's Mazda Road to Indy team, is strong and fertile. Is there an element to this of being able to say to current young drivers and future drivers that, hey, guess what? If you want to come and invest in Carlin Racing in North America, we can indeed take you up that ladder and all the way into IndyCar, provided we have you or we have the means to do so. But, I mean, is that an added element of motivation for you to complete the ladder?
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice because, I mean, our job has been and still is to help young drivers work their way through from Formula 4, USF 2000, up through the ladder. And what's happened up until now, at a certain point, we've had to say goodbye to them because we haven't been in a category, IndyCar or Formula One, where we could hang on to our drivers. And now we've got a chance where we can take a driver from, you know, the very beginning when they leave karting all the way to the pinnacle. It hasn't really been something that was achievable with Formula One because Formula One's, you know, it's the barriers to entry are so high. But the way the Verizon IndyCar Championship is set up with the financing, the concept of the cars, it just made it achievable for a normal team, you know, because that's all we are. You know, we started off 18 years ago with one Formula 3 car. and here we are now, you know, about to embark on this great mission. So it's nice to be able to take our drivers from the bottom to the top and then continue working with them and hopefully, you know, garner some more success.
A couple of other quick questions for you. So if we're looking at forming this program, you and I spoke at Watkins Glen, and you were busy trying to finalize the last bits and pieces to make all this come together, notably on the engine partner side. Tell me just a little bit about working with IndyCar, Dallara, Chevrolet, because this wasn't, you can't just simply say, I'm going to IndyCar. There has to be buy-in from some vendors and partners who say, aha, and we see value and we would love to execute a contract with you. We won't go into all details, but I know that, let's just say that the reason you're announcing this in the middle of December is because it took that long. You would have announced this months ago, I imagine, if you could have.
We've had verbal agreements in place for a considerable amount of time, to be honest, you know, probably a couple of months. But, of course, you know, you're dealing with big corporations regarding to suppliers and sponsors. There's a due diligence process that needs to be gone through from the paperwork point of view. And we're very much a firm believer in it. An announcement isn't, you know, it can't be done until the contracts are signed. All the contracts are agreed and signed. We're over the moon about it. Our sponsors and partners are happy about it. So, you know, hence the announcement today. You know, it was a paperwork exercise needed to be finished.
Well, that's why we all get into motor racing, mate. Come on now. We're all paperwork hounds.
That's probably why it takes so long, because we're not really that interested in doing it.
We'd rather walk out
into the workshop and talk to the guys about the car than sit in the office and push paper across the desk.
Amen to that. The last question I had for you, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I guess it's also maybe somewhat relevant. This, I believe, will be the first Delray Beach, Florida-based IndyCar team, and I'm guessing for our friends who are working in shops right now, freezing their behinds off in the Midwest or wherever else, what has the recruitment process been like? Because obviously you have your Indy Lights team, you can't just simply rob everything from that. What's it been like speaking with whatever, mechanics, engineers, saying, hey, would you like to come work for me? And by the way, bring plenty of suntan lotion, because this is a rather nice, warm locale.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult for some people to be able to take up offers with us because they've got families and they've got roots. But we're, you know, our target is to build a young team, young, energetic team, and traditionally the youngsters are still young, free and single. They don't mind travelling, they don't mind relocating. So we've got a good mix of guys from the States, a couple of European guys are coming over, not many actually. And, you know, the attraction of at least having some sun in the winter when you're not racing is good. Obviously we'll have a satellite base in Indianapolis for, you know, 3 or 4 months a year when we're on the road working. But the rest of the time, you know, I'm in Delray as we speak. And, you know, it's 75 degrees, sun shining. Everyone's got their shorts on and everyone's happy. So it's, you know, us Brits, we like a bit of sunshine.
You know, let me throw one other final closing question for you, and it's maybe a question of team. I look at what's coming in 2018, Carlin Racing full-time, Harding Racing full-time, Juncos Racing. Don't know if they're going to be full-time, but we know Ricardo will be there enough for us to know the team is there. Michael Shank's going to be there for hopefully almost half a season. Sure looks from the outside like there is some positive momentum all landing in 2018. Are you getting that same feel as a member of that, you know, the new freshman class, if you want to call it, stepping up?
No, absolutely. There's certainly a buzz about the championship, and I think you'll actually find that there'll be more drivers looking for seats than seats available. So I think the timing's good. I think that IndyCar have got the business model right. Got great supporters and great suppliers, you know, obviously in great events, and you know, so with a new aero kit, it's the right time for us all to move in. So it's very exciting. But you know, our target is not to be the best of the new teams; it's to start competing as quickly as possible with the existing teams.
And that was Trevor Carlin and his very typical British fighting spirit, and we will certainly be rooting for them to have a strong and fast introduction to the Verizon IndyCar Series next season. Another thing that will be fun to monitor, we know that there are some teams in IndyCar who have been there for many years who have been underperforming and are looking to move up, hoping that the changes they've made during the offseason, whether it's swapping out drivers, engineers, whatever, to move up and be super competitive. Be really interesting to see when we get to St. Petersburg at the end of qualifying if Max Chilton, who has a couple years experience, Charlie Kimball, who has many years experience, will help this team to jump ahead of some of those proven programs, or if, as a rookie team, they're going to be sitting near the bottom. So, again, knowing Carlin's reputation, I think we can safely assume they are not going to be struggling looking like rookies at all of the events next year. Ovals, I would expect to be, you know, a little bit more of a challenge because that's what always hits a new team. But regardless, big, big expectations for them, and that is based purely on everything they have achieved previously in the sport. All right, I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is Marshall Pruitt Podcast. Thanks for listening.